Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today's Tuesday, September 8th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're having a wonderful week so far. Hope you enjoyed Labor Day weekend. I know I did, and the Gamecocks did as well. It was a hot day in Columbia on Saturday. It didn't seem to faze South Carolina too much. I don't know about Kent State. They seem to really struggle with the heat. The coach, Mark Carney, after the game, mentioned it. He did say something about it being an equalizer. I don't know about that. I think 57-0 sort of speaks for itself. The Gamecocks rolled up 645 yards of total offense, held Kent State to less than 200. Just not a lot after the first half of the first quarter. That started a little weird, you know, especially offensively. Just not much to complain about, I guess. Complaints. Complaining's a loaded word. I don't know. Not that much wrong with the opener. As far as openers go around here, we look back. There's not been this kind of dominant opener really in the modern history of the program. Like, I guess, face masks. South Carolina, as far as points scored, they scored 56 against East Carolina in 2011 under Steve Spurrier. That was a wild game, 9 combined turnovers in Charlotte. Lincoln Riley was the OC at ECU at the time, and they kind of ambushed the Gamecocks, got up 17-0. That was the year Connor Shaw actually got the start over Garcia in the first game. There was an early turnover. Garcia came off the bench, played really well, led the Gamecocks back to the win. Marcus Lattimore, Antonio Allen had a big game. I think Ace Sanders had a big punt return in that one. And then in 85, they beat Citadel 56-17, and that's about as far back as it goes. South Carolina, in general, normally has played some tough teams in openers, too. I mean, if you think about it, when they got into the SEC, Georgia was the opener every year until like 97, 96, 96. And then it was the second game. And then Spurrier would play those Thursday night games. And a lot of times that was an NC State or a Mississippi State one time, Vanderbilt a couple. You know, wasn't always a tough team. Southern Miss was one of them. North Carolina one year was a Thursday night. So, you know, in fairness, the Gamecocks don't always play Kent State in the first game, but they've played some teams they should have beaten a little worse than they did, right? And so all in all, I think all things considered, it was a very nice opener for South Carolina. You know, around the SEC, the league went 16-0. I think maybe in Nashville a little bit, maybe in Fayetteville a little bit. Maybe in Oxford a bit. They're a little bit iffy, but everybody else is feeling good, especially LSU. I almost feel like I should apologize for picking Clemson to beat them. Don't listen to me when it comes to picks about other teams. Just don't listen to me, please. I don't know that I was alone on that, but, you know, openers, it's just you kind of just guess, I guess, in a lot of ways. But anyway, we're certainly not here to talk about LSU and Clemson. Clemson's probably the one team on the schedule, them and Arkansas, that you look at and go, well, they need to get a whole lot better. But everybody else was pretty impressive this weekend, quite frankly. They just handled business like SEC football teams should do. So that's kind of the bad news, is that, you know, Carolina was not alone out here having an impressive opener. But I always say South Carolina needs to worry about South Carolina, and you know it was pretty nice to see the Gamecocks just go out and take care of business. Nice to see the fans out there packing it out at the beginning. You know, I don't know what the social media narrative has been on fans leaving early. I know Beamer thanked the folks that stayed, the students that stayed, but man, at some point, you know, it's kind of about safety. And there are people that go to these games with children or older folks. And there's just issues with the heat like that. and the aluminum bleachers on top of that, and no cloud cover or anything. So don't blame anybody for checking out early or getting in the shade, maybe watching it from Traditions Club on the TV or something, because man, just the fact everybody showed up and Gamecock Walk was like that is a testament to the fan base. So I don't think the players were worried about it either, because they went out and played very, very well, all things considered. And actually, there's not an all things considered. They played very, very well. South Carolina looked like a good football team on Saturday. And you can't say that about a lot of openers. Even teams that have gone on to be very good, the Old Dominion opener a couple of years ago. Shane Beamer, I said, with regards to, I guess it was about a month ago, we were talking about him and openers. And I kind of said, like, the narrative about him, his team's not playing well in openers is a little bit misleading in the sense that all roads have led to offense. I mean, if you think about the defense and special teams during his tenure here, they've all played pretty well out the gates. It's been offense. I mean, everything from needing two punts blocked, return for touchdowns against Georgia State to win, to having the defense recover two fumbles inside the 10 to beat Old Dominion. Even in that North Carolina game, special teams recovered an onside kick in the second half. They did lose that one. You go back to last year in Virginia Tech after that first drive. Carolina really needed it. The defense held Virginia Tech without a touchdown. And the special teams obviously popped with Vakari Swain and the punt return. So, that wasn't the case on Saturday. Lenore Sellers, 19 for 23, 270 yards, three touchdowns. Didn't have to run. They didn't need him to run because the running backs combined for 286 net yards rushing. Jabri Coleman, who we have been kind of talking about on Gamecock Central and the Big Spur, as having a really good camp. He gets in there first carry, 60-yard touchdown. He got a touchdown later in the game. He's going to be pretty good. There's a lot of backs in that room that I think have taken a big step forward under Stan Drayton. We talked about the Matt Fuller hype all offseason, and I think he pretty much delivered the big 42-yard run. Well, early got the offense going. It was a nothing-nothing game at the time. First big play, really, of the season for him. And, it looks like to me, when you watch him, his feet are moving a lot quicker. Kind of, he just looks quicker, looks quicker, more explosive, that type of thing. And he had some holes to run through, too. I'll get to the offensive line in a second. I thought Christian Clark, who had the least amount of carries of the backs, ran hard. You kind of see what he's all about. And then Isaiah Augustov and Jawaan Howell got in there and shoot. I think they were over 100 yards combined, 17 carries for 103 yards for those two guys. And that just helps, man, because there's going to be games where those guys don't get any carries. And they play special teams, and they're really good athletes, the big part of the team. You never know with running back, you're going to need some depth at some point in the season. And so that's a very encouraging sign. I thought South Carolina's receivers played really well. Donovan Murph, I love Donovan Murph's competitiveness. Donovan Murph is a guy that's just very crafty at receiver. He's got great hands. Got great hands, and he's fearless, man. I mean, you go over the middle, you catch a pass, and you line right back up, touchdown. That was a really good throw by Lenore Sellers, by the way, on the crossing pattern to kind of look back, get his shoulder square set in the pocket. Todd Ellis was talking about it on the broadcast and said it was one of the prettiest plays Lenore's has had. And I agree with him there. And then the next play, boom. And then that's a touchdown. And Murph was open, beat his man pretty handedly. Will that happen against an SEC defensive back? Mississippi State's got pretty good corners. You hope so. You hope so, but you don't know. But Donovan Murph, I thought had a really good game. I think he's really good. As far as Nick Harbor's concerned, getting him the ball on the perimeter, if you notice, they kind of lined him up, and there's a little buzz about this. You don't want to say too much about specific game plan stuff. Because you just don't know if they're going to run it or not. But one of those plays, I think it was the play that the touchdown was called back. Maybe not. Well, anyway, you remember the little dump pass to Josh Simon that worked so well under Dowell Loggins. And then for some reason, they didn't run it last year a whole lot. Well, that kind of came with Loggins from Arkansas with Briles. If you go look back to some Arkansas tape back when he was there, they ran that play a lot. It looks really simple, but it seems like defenses just don't get it. And then if that guy breaks a tackle, he's out on the perimeter and away we go. Josh Simon made a living off that play. We'll never forget the big touchdown against A&M that kind of sealed the deal. That's a really good play. Well, I think they motioned Harbor into the formation, and then he kind of ran it from, I don't want to call it the wrong area. I think Muschamp called it the C area. Is it the C area? Somebody, I'll ask Deputy Smitty later about that because he's going to be on the show today. But and then they ran it to Harbor, and I was like, ah, that's pretty. I like that. I like that idea. Nick looks like a better player this year. Some of the things that he did Saturday, and he didn't get loose on a big one downfield. He didn't play. I mean, they substituted liberally. he didn't play a whole lot. 5 catches, 70 yards. That was very productive when he was in there. He looks different with the ball in his hands. He broke some tackles on the perimeter. That's big because Nick can get open deep. I mean, that's what he does. But it's that yards after catch, throwing him the ball, putting it in his hands, let him go make a play. That's the step he needed to take. And it looked Saturday like he's well on his way to doing that. And so I think that's good. And then finally, there's the blocking. And I just want to say this. That was clearly the best first game offensive line performance of the Beamer era by a fair margin. That's just fact. And one of the reasons was, and this was weird because, not weird, but notable because they substituted a lot up front. It wasn't, on the offensive line, you usually have five, six, and you go, and you for cohesiveness. Well, they substituted. Shedd Surratt didn't start. Dane Arnett did. That was a close battle on the depth chart. It's an or. So they went with Arnett. Shedd had missed some practice time. From what I heard. So I guess all things being equal, you go with the guy that's gotten more reps, but Arnett played really well. Shedd played well when he was in there. Darius Gray played well. Nolan Hay graded out really high. I know the one sack came from his side, but Deputy Smitty breaking it down, pointed out it's probably a coverage sack. Lenoris just didn't have much to go. It's kind of a funky kind of It's a bunch formation in that one, kind of a tight formation, but was interesting. So that happened, but I don't know that that was all on Nolan, and I think Matt Fuller missed a block on that too. But he got the start. Nolan Hayes been playing really well. He got the start at left guard, and then Darius Gray at left tackle. And what I liked about the offensive line is the communication was there. When you're playing offensive line, you have to kind of communicate and trade off and things like that. And that clicked. And that's so, I mean, when you know what you're doing, that's just so huge. And that's what was frustrating about the line the last few years. It just, and I continue to say, I don't know what exactly they were being asked to do, but they just weren't getting it. Well, not this bunch, you can take, a guy like Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, who played pretty well when he was in, the whole D line did. Or one of those big dudes from Georgia or Mississippi State's got some good defensive linemen. If they beat you and just beat your butt, that's going to happen in the SEC. That's going to happen. But what really kills teams on the offensive line is this communication part of it and the missed assignments and the, oh, I should have had that guy. And then the play breaks down. And it's usually just one guy. Well, there weren't a lot of communication issues. They fired off the ball. They were pushed them back. They got a push. Running backs had room to run for the most part. I can't say enough good about that. And it was on a day where they played a lot of guys, you know, so it wasn't just the starters. The depth sort of got valuable reps, right? They've been looking to develop depth at that position. And so Randy Clements and Jason Smith did a fantastic job getting those guys ready for the opener. What's going to happen moving forward? Well, you got Towson this weekend with regards to the offensive line, and then it gets real. Like I said, Mississippi State's got some pretty good, I mean, they're an SEC football team. They've got some good defensive linemen. Obviously, the competition steps up. Obviously, Kent State had a game plan. Mississippi State will have a different game plan. You know, there'll be tape out. You know, the seasons change. You can't expect what happened Saturday to be the norm. But I think that from a confidence standpoint, from a tired of hearing about the offensive line standpoint, I mean, Lenore Sellers had time to throw. One of the one times he didn't, beautifully, he stepped out of the pockets, rolled out to his right, fired a ball down the field to DJ Black for, I think, a 33-yard gain. He's wide open. And so that was good. You know, Sellers operated efficiently, didn't play a whole lot. Cutter Woods got in there. Lucian Anderson got in there. They were all very efficient. I love the fact Carolina has the Spurrier philosophy, it seems. And the reason that it's like this, you know, they're not throwing it and running up the score. They're just running their offense. And their offense has a lot of RPO mixed plays. In other words, so if Kent State's going to play to stop the run, then South Carolina's going to throw it. It doesn't matter what the opponent is or what the score is. You know, that's just what's going to happen. And Cutter connected on some good plays. Lex Cyrus with the big, huge coming. I didn't know. I mean, Lex has always kind of been a guy that's sort of a slot guy, you know, maybe handing the ball, that kind of thing. Laying out like that and catching a pass on the, I mean, it was really impressive. Stone Furry got in there and caught some passes late from Lucian Anderson. Thought that was pretty impressive. Malik Clark, all the receivers look pretty good. You know, DJ Black had the fumble, you know, came back though, you know, rallied and played well. You know, looking at him kind of in the open field, I don't want to say he played hesitant, but I'd, you know, like to see the, maybe the speed a little bit more. Not complaining or anything. But that was kind of his first game out there as a starter. He caught three for 50 something, 60 something, three for 62. So he was productive. They all were. Murph led the way, but they all were pretty much productive. Murph led the way with yardage and touchdowns, and then Nick Harbor with five receptions. So that was good. I'll say this too about the blocking. The tight ends blocked well. Max Drag specifically, and that's how why they recruited him. Kid from Chapin, from UCF, out of the portal, really big in the run game. Mike Tyler, he caught the little dump pass too for his first career touchdown, three receptions, 7 yards, TD. Hunt got in there and played. Hunt played pretty well. Maurice Brown had some big blocks, and the special teams demon threw a pass to Hunt for a 2-point play, which was becoming a Beamer trademark in the opener. All in all, a good day on offense, you know. So that's what you want when you play an under overmatched opponent. You want to take care of business. You want to blow them out, and you want everybody to play. And you want people to have fun doing it, and it looked like the team did. So it's a good start. It's just a start. Like I said, a lot of other teams had good starts. And so, you know, we go on to the next week with the offense. I think defensively, yeah, probably not a bunch of concerns. You know, you would have liked to have contained Drew DeShields a little better, and the quarterbacks in general for Kent, they sort of popped out of there a couple of times. Pass rushing stats, Anthony Addison had the one sack. Julian Walker missed a couple, but that's okay. That'll come. He's a freshman, probably just too excited and got to close the deal there. Certainly against Kamario Taylor coming up in a couple of weeks, you got to make sure you get him on the ground. But all in all, defensive tackles very impressive. Linebackers played really well. I thought the secondary was good in coverage. It didn't seem like the Shields had very, a long way to, very much room to, or I'm sorry. Let me recalibrate that statement. Didn't seem like he had very open passing windows to hit plays on. Darrelis Clark, they tried to get him involved, and that was Carolina just swarmed him. And so, all in all, good day on defense. That defensive tackle room looks good. I mean, Gabriel Brownlow Dindy didn't start. Carolina opened in a three-man front, odd front. He got in there quick, though, and I guess it made him mad because he had this big tackle for loss. Tomiwa Adorijaiye looked good. You need Dylan Stewart back, I think. And not necessarily right now do I think that the pass rush is going to be an issue. Because I also think this. I think Clayton White, if the offense can score points, he can dial it up a little bit. He can gamble a little bit with that. If this offense can score points, there's no guarantee they will against SEC competition. But Dylan Stewart's obviously a guy that when you put him out on the field, they have to account for him. And that opens up opportunities for others because he can wreck the game if he's out there. And so they do need him back. I think that's going to be a differentiator for this defense moving forward. I don't think the absence of Dylan Stewart's the reason they had one sack. It looked like Kent was just determined not to get sacked and all that good stuff. And DeShield's a pretty mobile guy, but if there was one area that against Towson this weekend that you'd like to see a little more of, it's maybe pass rush, sacks, tackles for loss, things like that. But a solid day for the defense. I mean, they shut them out. So that's good. It's good enough. Right. I think it's the second shutout Beamer's had in an opener. Eastern Illinois was the first one, 46-0. Much better football game Saturday than that Eastern Illinois game, which was a blowout. But I think Kent's a little better than that EIU team was back in 2021. But, all in all, a solid win. Special teams, they had the 2-point conversion. Vakari Swain, maybe gambled a little bit on some of those returns. I think there's some plays that will happen there eventually. He's a very confident guy. You could just tell he wanted to break one, and I don't mind that. They only punted once. Mason Love had about a 37-yarder. Malik Orson and Max Kelly kind of, I think Malik had 4 extra points. Max had 3. And they went for 2 that one time. So no problems there. Kyler Farrow, who's a scholarship snapper from Wisconsin in his second year, I guess he won the long snapper job and he won some kind of post game award per Beamer, I think special teams player of the game. But he, you always want to have a good long snapper, man, and field goal snapper. You want to have a good snapper. So Kyler Farrow, there's a reason they scholarshiped him. I can't remember many other guys from Wisconsin that have been on the roster. So I have a good friend from Wisconsin, so I always kind of, he calls it the motherland. So I always kind of pay attention to Kyler Farrow from the motherland. Special teams were fine. Obviously, Ethan Sanchez gets back, gets going, acclimated or whatever, and will compete for the starting field goal job. They didn't have to kick a field goal, so you punted one time, kicked a field goal, didn't have to kick a field goal. So that's good. Good for the Gamecocks. Good overall day. No injuries. Big. Yemi Rodriguez, the nutritionist, got a game ball and should have a day like that for a team not to cramp up at all. That's good preparation. That stuff matters, man. I mean, you don't want a nice win like that to be marred by, oh my God, because when guys cramp up, it looks a lot more serious than it is. Like, ah, trust me, my old butt was just laying in there the other night. I got a Charlie horse on my calf. Whoa, I thought my leg was going to fall off. And so cramps like that, you don't want that marring it, but there was no issues with it, right? So all in all, a good day for Carolina. Now, what does this mean? It just means Carolina had a good opener. There's some things to work on. Obviously, Mississippi State, school record, a lot worth of offense. Kamario Taylor looked really good against Louisiana Monroe. They won 62-13. Towson lost to Navy 42-15. They had a good second quarter, the Tigers did. They kind of took a punch and then counterpunched, and then Navy counterpunched back and won going away. But they're 0-2. They lost to Maine in week zero by a field goal. So they'll come in Saturday night. It's a night game, hopefully a little cooler. Good game to kind of bring the kids to and have a good night watching what will be the last lower level team Carolina will play this year with 10 straight Power Fours coming up. That's not going to be easy, but it's another game to get out there, get some confidence, and get ready. And I like the way this sets up for the Gamecocks. I think with what happened last year and all the new and a line that has a lot of new guys and a quarterback in a new system, obviously he looks more comfortable in this system than any of the systems they've run with him being the quarterback here by a good margin. So I don't know that he needs to get too much. I mean, I think he's plenty comfortable right now. But it's another chance to go out there and play. It's also another chance to give, if you handle business, then it's always an if, because, Columbia this week, everybody's going to be like, yeah, we're back and all that. And that's fine. These are still young people, though. And so you want to make sure you get the focus and all that good stuff and don't go out there and struggle unnecessarily against an FCS opponent that is 0-2. But it's a chance to go out there, handle business, get move forward, make progress in some of the areas you need to make progress in, and keep playing some of these new guys and get another win and then get ready for it to get real. To get real. It gets real for Mississippi State this week. They go to Minneapolis to play the Golden Gophers. PJ Fleck, Mike Shula's on that staff, by the way, as the quarterback's coach. Drake Lindsey is their quarterback. They won 59-7 in their opener. It was like a Thursday night. But from what I've read about Minnesota, and this is just reading, they're expecting to have their best team in a while under Fleck. They're a good, solid bowl team. I mean, I think they've been like eight straight bowls, nine straight bowls, something like that. And they're good for the occasional upset. I remember a couple of years ago, they Penn State, and that was the year Carolina missed the play. It was 0-24. They had Penn State beat, and Penn State survived in Minneapolis. It won't be as cold in Minneapolis as it was for that one. But Mississippi State's got to go up there and play a physical team. You worry about that a little bit, that Mississippi State's going to come to Columbia battle-tested in many ways. But we'll talk about that one next week. For now, it's the Towson Tigers coming in for a 7 p.m. kickoff, SEC Network Plus streaming. But all in all, just to put a bow on this, I think the blocking was so much better for an opener. I mean, look, man, this last year they could not block South Carolina State. And that's not, and it's, I don't know, South Carolina State may have a little bit better D-line than Kent State did. But Kent State's got some good defensive linemen. You look at some of those guys, their linebackers all have played at the power four, at least the power four level. Two of the three have. Nickel, their best linebacker, I think he got the sack or a tackle for loss. He was at South Florida last year, so he's at least in like the American. But man, in my teams that are probably a little nervous, Auburn, you can add them. They won, they beat Baylor, but 17-60, I mean, I don't know. Offense from Auburn. Carolina didn't play Auburn though. So anyway, 17-16 win in Mercedes-Benz for them. But you kind of look at the I guess the players on Kent and players on South Carolina State. Maybe you could say South Carolina State had a little bit better D-line, but Carolina couldn't block them. They blocked Coastal pretty well. And the other, I guess, but they just, I mean, there's been games they couldn't block Georgia State. There's been games they couldn't block this, that, and the, I mean, Old Dominion. I mean, so I think Little Victories, right? It's a good song by Chris Knight, Little Victories, man. He references baloney in that song. So that's kind of what it is. And the most important thing about the offensive line, I think, not so much that they physically dominated or whatever, because they did in a lot of ways, but it was the togetherness, the knowing what you're doing, the assignments, so much better than it's been. No confusion, only three penalties the whole day. Mazio Bennett, I want to say that because he had a tough penalty and he went out of the game after a drop. Mazio Bennett coming back, catching that touchdown, that's big for him. Second touchdown of the season for the Gamecocks and first one for Bennett in a while. So, I think all in all, it's something to feel good about. I think the blocking obviously is the big takeaway. And, we could say it's Kent, and we can, and that's true. But we can also say Carolina hasn't always blocked some of these teams. I don't know that they blocked Eastern Illinois all that well in 21, to be honest, when you look back at that game. So anyway, pretty good opener, folks. Pretty good opener. 57-0. Gamecocks handle business. Hopefully there's no more games that are that hot. Goodness gracious. And then away you go. So we'll get into Towson here. By the way, today, Preston Thorne, Mike Morgan on the morning show, and then Deputy Smitty joins Phil and I for his weekly breakdown on the show. We certainly fired up to listen to him. He had a lot of good things on his social media. Smitty Sports is the account to go follow. Looking forward to chatting it up with him later today. Also, the BigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com. We'll have complete coverage of it. We got Harrison Lutheran, our guy. He's got the advanced, we call it the advanced scout on Towson, that'll be hitting the website here directly. So if you want to learn about the Towson Tigers, go check that out. Our membership special is over. However, is it over? Yeah, I think it's over. Yeah, it's over. However, we still got like free trial and 50% off and all that good stuff. So just another special. If you want to come join today, we'd certainly love to have you. All right. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.